Let's ask the Lord's blessing on us. Lord, we come into your presence in Christ's name, and we ask that we might be enabled to hear your gospel in the power of your Spirit. And we ask that we might be enabled to worship your Son. Now bless us, O Lord, for Christ's sake, and forgive us of our sins, and cleanse us, and, oh, grant us your presence. In Christ's blessed name we pray. Amen. Now, to say the least, this is an unusual passage of Scripture we're going to look at. I can't say that I understand it more than anything else. I'm just giving the story of what took place. This is where David was anointed king. The Spirit of God came upon him, and the Spirit of God actually left Saul. Now, what all that means, I'll try to get through it, but it's very important. The Lord wouldn't have revealed it if it was not important. Look in verse 13 of 1 Samuel chapter 16. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, speaking of David, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now when David was anointed king, the Spirit of God came upon him. The Spirit of God is the third person of the Trinity. He is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. In some respects, all of the persons of the Trinity are mysterious to us, but in some respects, God the Holy Spirit is the most mysterious. He is to me at any rate. He is a part of the us. When God said, "Let us make man in our own image," the Spirit of God is the third person of the Trinity, and all three persons of the Trinity have a special work in salvation. God the Father elects, God the Son redeems, and God the Holy Spirit regenerates. He gives life. He's the author of the new birth. Now, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon men to enable them to perform supernatural feats so that God's purpose would be done. Let me show you an example of this. You remember Samson. You remember how he had this supernatural strength that God gave him? He had such strength that he could pull the pillars of a temple down, and it was the Spirit of God upon him. Turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter 13. Verse 24. Chapter 13, the last verse of chapter 13. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And I think that this is a reference to these feats of strength that he showed. Verse 1 of chapter 14, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, "I've seen a woman in the Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to a wife." Then his father and his mother said unto him, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said unto his father, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord. That he sought an occasion, the Lord sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now you see that the Lord gave Samson this supernatural strength and power, and the Lord was seeking a reason to fight the Philistines. And he put this in Samson's heart somehow, to go after this woman simply so he could use her and Samson to destroy the Philistines. And so the Spirit of God came upon him in a supernatural way. Now, God came supernaturally upon David. What about that passage in 1 Samuel 17 where David was given such strength that he could grab a lion by the beard and hit him and kill him? No mere man could do that. He was given supernatural strength to do that. Saul, at times, was given supernatural strength. You can read about it in 1 Samuel 11 and 1 Samuel chapter 12, where he was used by God to deliver Israel from the Philistines. He had the Spirit of God come upon him, and he did supernatural things. Now, we read in verse 14 of 1 Samuel chapter 16, now, the Spirit came upon David, and David was enabled to do these miraculous things because of that, but, verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. He was like Samson when he lost his strength. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and Saul no longer had his help. That's scary, isn't it? That's all I can say, it's scary. And when I look at a passage of Scripture like that, I think of what David said. When David said, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Now that was David's response. And when we look at a passage of Scripture like this, don't just dismiss it. I don't know what all it means, but I know it's scary. Saul, as a judgment of the Lord against him, had the Spirit removed from him. Now, we know he wasn't a believer. We know that from looking at his life. We know he did have some kind of gift to where he was enabled to prophesy. He had the Spirit of God to do that. He had the Spirit of God to perform these supernatural feats of strength, and yet the Spirit was taken from him. Now, I know that if I'm a believer, I can't lose the Holy Spirit. But I can certainly grieve him, can't I? The Scripture says that, grieve not the Spirit of God. I can quench him. I can quench his influences because the Scripture also says to quench not the Spirit. So those things certainly can happen. And we see how this happened with Saul, and it was a judgment against him because of... Now, here we go. This is hard to talk about anyway, and then when I have that phone ringing, it's really hard, you know. I mean, it's... an evil spirit from the Lord came upon him and terrified him, the Scripture says, troubled him. And you know, you read a lot in the Bible about the Lord sending strong delusion. The Lord doing it. The Lord shall send strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's what the Scripture says. The Lord sending something like this. You remember when God was going to have Ahab deceived. He sent lying spirits into the prophets. The Lord sent a lying spirit into the prophets so that Ahab would be deceived. And so we have here Saul, the Lord taking the spirit from him and sending an evil spirit that would trouble him. And we read during these times when this evil spirit would come and trouble and terrify him, he tried to kill David. That evil spirit would come upon him. He'd take a javelin and throw it at David, try to kill him. It influenced his actions. Now let's go on reading. Verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And I have to say this. Why did the Spirit of the Lord depart from Saul? If you'll remember, the reason is that Saul spared the Amalekites. He spared the flesh. He refused to deny the flesh in salvation, is really what that means. He spared the flesh. He let it stay. He let it have some credit. And God departed from him. He became under the judgment of God at that time because he refused to spare the Amalekites. And the significance of the Amalekites is he was giving some credit, sparing the flesh. Some work of the flesh. He would not destroy the Amalekites as God commanded him to do it. So the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. This shows the seriousness of giving the flesh any credit in salvation. God will not tolerate it. And that's what he did with Saul. So, verse 15, and Saul's servants said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. They knew that. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp,
And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well.
Now, that's another one of those things. I just don't understand all that much. But you have this evil spirit of God troubling you, and these fellows say, if you get a man who's really skilled at playing the harp, a great musician, it'll settle your mind. You won't be troubled like you were. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Verse 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. It's talking about David. That is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. What a description of the greater David. We're going to consider that in just a moment. Verse 19, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. David was a shepherd. Just like the greater David is a shepherd. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David unto his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now, I don't know what all is involved with that evil spirit and what all it did to him. I know that when it came upon him, several times he tried to kill David. It had some kind of influence on him. But the scripture says that when he would hear David play this harp, and how must David have sounded when he played that harp? I'd like to hear that, wouldn't you? But the evil spirit departed. Now let's go back to verse 18. There are eight things said of David that speak of the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I've seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Now what a beautiful description of Jesus Christ. Now, first, he was the son of Jesse. Well, what's the significance of that? Well, the seed royal came through him, and that's why the New Testament devotes so much time to the genealogy of Christ. You look in Matthew's account and Luke's account, an entire chapter is devoted to the genealogy of Christ. He's the son of David, who came through Jesse, who came through Obed. I mean, there's a seed royal, and this is pointed out so that we might know who the greater David is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, it's pointed out that he was a Bethlehemite. Where was the Lord Jesus born? Bethlehem. Listen to the scripture from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth to me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. You see, it was prophesied that the Lord Jesus Christ would come out of the city of David, Bethlehem. And this is very important. And notice it says, thirdly, that he's got to be a man cunning in playing. Now, who can calm a troubled heart like the Lord Jesus? No one and nothing. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's the only one who can cure and help and calm and comfort the troubled heart. If you're troubled, I don't care what it's about, there's only one place to go, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's cunning in playing, and you'll find rest to your soul in coming to him. And then it's pointed out
that he was a mighty valiant man. Look in verse 18 again. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, the seed royal, the Bethlehemite, the one who comes out of Bethlehem. He's cunning and playing. There's no comfort like the gospel. And next it says, he's a mighty valiant man. Now, David demonstrated his supernatural strength and his supernatural ability when he defeated a lion and a bear. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart, verse 32. We're going to start on this next week, the David and Goliath, and we're going to spend several weeks in that. But David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and I smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with thee. Now here we see David's supernatural ability. Now, the very heart and soul of faith is believing the ability of Christ. I want you to forget about yourself right now for just a moment. I want to do the same thing. Do you believe Christ is able? Do you believe he is able? Do you believe he has the ability to save? Now, let me bring you back into it, myself back into it. Do you believe he has the ability to save you? With no help from you. He's a mighty man of war, a mighty valiant man. David or Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Now, do you believe he is able? Do you believe the same thing the leper believed? The leper said, Lord, if you will, you can. You have the ability to make me clean. Now that's what we believe. That's who we believe. We believe his ability. Abraham was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He's a mighty man of valor. All of my hope is in his ability. And look what's said next in verse 18. Of 1 Samuel 16. Not only is he a mighty valiant man who has all power and the ability to do whatever he set out to do, but he's also a man of war. Now this is what David is called. And if you'll remember the Song of Moses in Exodus chapter 15, verse 3, what's the first thing he calls the Lord? A man of war. Now, what this is a reference to is him fighting our battles for us. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 42, this is when the giant comes to David. Verse 42, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. He's a pretty boy. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or with spear, for the battle is the Lord's. The fight is the Lord's, and He will deliver you into our hand. Now, turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Battle's already been won. You see, the Lord's a man of war, and He's fought this battle for you. And you speak to Jerusalem and say, her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, the Lord's a man of war. And this is not talking about Him, you know what, this is not a reference to Him just fighting the way we fight. This is talking about Him fighting our battles for us. And my dear friends, that's exactly what I need. I need Him to fight my battles for me. He's a man of war. And look what it says next in our text in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18. He's the son of Jesse. He's from Bethlehem. He's cunning in playing. He's a mighty, valiant man, a man able to do whatever he's pleased to do. He's a man of war who fights our battles for us. And look what it says next. He's prudent in matters. And my marginal reading says that word matters is words or speech. He's prudent in speech. His words. Now here's the point. The Lord Jesus Christ is identified by His words, by what He says, by His doctrine. It's the doctrine of Christ. Now, I love His words. I think when the crowd responded to His message in John chapter 6, they said, these are hard sayings. Who can hear them? You know, they're not hard sayings to His people. They love His words. They love His doctrine. They love how He identifies Himself by His word. You know, every word He says is perfect, isn't it? I love the way He speaks to sinners. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I love the way He spoke to that woman at the well. I that speak unto thee, identifying Himself as the Messiah. I that speak unto thee am He. I like the way He talked to the Pharisees too. I like the way He talked to His enemies. Everything He said, we love His words, don't we? Oh, He is prudent in words. He says things exactly as they ought to be said. And we know who He is by His words, by the things He says. You can't separate Christ from His word. You can't separate Christ from His doctrine. Oh, He's prudent in matters. And the seventh thing it says about Him is He's a comely person. A beautiful person is what that word means. He's beautiful. And I love that song you sing, Kara, How Beautiful. The Lord Jesus Christ is so beautiful. He's beautiful to me. He's beautiful in His person. He's beautiful in His work. Oh, how beautiful He is as He was my surety before time began. How beautiful He is in His birth when the infinite became an infinite. How beautiful He is in His life. How He obeyed God perfectly. Oh, how beautiful. How beautiful He is in His death when He obeyed His Father to the point of death. How beautiful He was in His death when He died for me. How beautiful is He in the accomplishments of His death when He put away sins. How beautiful He is in His resurrection. I love to think of Him being dead in the tomb and all of a sudden opening up His eyes. Don't you love to think about how beautiful He was when He walked out of the tomb? How beautiful He was when He ascended back to His Father. How beautiful He is now as He's my representative, as He's my
great high priest and intercessor. How beautiful is the Lord Jesus Christ? How beautiful in his return. Jesus Christ is beautiful. There's nobody like him. Truly, he's the fairest of 10,000. Nobody like him. Oh, how beautiful is Jesus Christ. He's comely in his person. And then the last thing that's said of him in verse 18, the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. Now, the scripture says he had the Spirit without measure. Now, if I'm a believer, I have a measure of the Spirit. If you're a believer, you have a measure of the Spirit. That's the way you believe. But he had the Spirit without measure. And oh, how the Father was with him. The Father was with him through everything he did. He had the Father's presence. He has the Father's presence. Oh, the Father delights in his presence. The Lord is with him. That's why he's our Savior. The Lord is with him. Now, what a description of our great David. I think this is about as beautiful a description and comprehensive a description as you're going to find of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this verse of Scripture, verse 18, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that's cunning and plain, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters or words, and a comely, a beautiful person, and the Lord is with him. And when he would play that harp, Saul was so distressed. And you know, I feel sorry for Saul. There's so much in Saul I can identify with. I feel sorry for him. And when he has this evil spirit, and he's so overcome and terrified. I don't know what all's behind that. Scripture points it out for a purpose. But I know this. David could play the harp in such a way that that evil spirit would depart from Saul. And he would feel refreshed. What a glorious Savior is Jesus Christ. And you know, one of these days in glory, I'm going to get to hear him play that harp. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? To think of the Lord playing that harp that is so sweet and so beautiful and so glorious. Now next week we're going to start in what I believe is probably the most famous story in the Old Testament. The story of David and Goliath. And you know, particularly in sports, you always hear it. You know, it's a David and Goliath and fighting insurmountable odds and winning and so on. It's probably the most well-known story in the Old Testament. But oh, what a beautiful gospel story this is. And we're going to probably stay in that for several weeks.